I'd like to welcome Judy Messiter to share her thoughts and memories about Lake Macquarie Libraries. Good morning, Judy.
Hi, Darren. How are you going?
I'm very well, thanks. What can you tell me about your memories of libraries when you were a child or younger?
I have really vivid memories of libraries when I was a kid because I was a fairly quiet kid and I absolutely adored reading, so the library played a big part in my childhood. I can remember going down to the library with school. I lived at Edgeworth, so my little local library was Edgeworth Library, and we regularly walked down there at school, during school, to pick books, and I really looked forward to that every week, to picking books and taking them home to read. I guess that started fairly young, and they also had a program there after school. So you could, after school, you could go down to the library, and Helen Linton, who was the librarian at the time, would actually be there, and she would actually play some of those recorded stories on records. I particularly remember Danny Kaye. I can't remember what it was now, but, you know, with the poisons in the vessel with the pestle and that sort of thing, and Tubby the Tuber and that type of thing. So that would happen once a week, and that time I would arrange to actually stay later at the library to listen to those stories after school.
What sort of year are we talking about there approximately?
Probably, I started school I think that Edgeworth School was quite connected to the library, so even as a kindergartner I remember walking down to the library. I remember walking down all through my primary school years to the library from school, because at Edgeworth the school is right next to the library. So as you got older, I mean, you sort of take more notice of what's happening in the library and other things, and it becomes more than just the stories. You actually, a bit more time to actually pick out books that you like rather than just sort of going and picking easy books and that sort of thing. So I always had loved reading. My parents used to tell me there's nothing else to read, I'd read the back of a cereal box. So I can remember vividly going down and picking books. As I got older, in high school and that type of thing, visits to the library didn't happen at school, but I did still go to the library and catch a bus up to the library from where we lived and borrow books. Mrs. Linton was still the librarian at the time, so I can read kids' books and more towards young adult and that type of thing. It just really fed my love of reading and libraries. I can honestly say that I knew I wanted to work in a library from a really young age, because I really wanted to be the lady behind the desk.
So you decided to start your employment in libraries, and you've fostered a liking for libraries from when you were a child. Where did you start working first when you, or how did you get your job?
Well, after school, after year 12 at school, did a lot of things, did a lot of office tasks. I sold car parts and worked in an office doing paperwork and following things. But all the time I sort of knew that I wanted to do something in a library, so I actually started the TAFE course while I was doing, and kept applying when jobs actually came up, and eventually. So when I first started, I was everyone who first started back in those days, and this was in about 1978 or so. Back in those days, when you started in tech services, so you came into where they processed and ordered and all that type of thing with the books. That's where everybody had to do sort of like an apprenticeship back then in that section, and get to know how the library ran behind the scenes before you actually went out to a branch.
So you got to know some of the processes that the books went through when they first came into the library, accessioned, etc.
Yes, it was really hierarchical back in those days, because you've got to remember this was way before computers, so everything was done by hand, everything was still very meticulously done by hand then. So I can remember the first few months that I started, I was checking catalogue cards, so we had catalogues back then. I knew my alphabet really well. For the first few months, you weren't even allowed to use the Gestetner, which printed all of the cards. The first few months, I did a lot of that, and I did a lot of standing at what we called the accessions file, which was the record of the books the library held, and crossing things off the accession file when they were discarded. You would have to look up that book in the accession file and put a rare copy of that book that was on the accession card to see. So things were sort of more or less accurate, but more or less accurate within a couple of months. We'd never tell whether a book actually, whether a branch actually had a book, because it would take a couple of months for it to be written off.
Was that occurring at the headquarters branch at Spears Point?
Yeah, here at Spears Point. Yeah.
And what were the staff numbers like?
Oh, back then it was quite bustling, I think. I can't remember exactly, but there probably were about 20 people who worked in the technical services department. There was no computers, everything had to be hand on. So it required a lot of manual effort. The other thing that I'll tell you, which was quite funny, which is quite a unique thing, the accession file was the master record of everything that was held at Lake Macquarie Library. And there was a real hierarchy among people, and there was a real hierarchy among pens that you could use. So we were not allowed to use green pens. There were signs up on the accession file that only people of this level and above were allowed to use a green pen. It was called, we used to nickname it, the Green Pen of Power, because you were not allowed to use a green pen. Of course, it was used by the cataloguers, and a purple pen, which was the ultimate pen, was used by the... So if you were caught with one of those pens, you were in big trouble if you were only alone in the library assistant. Remember that you had to ask permission to go to the ladies, if you needed to go to the ladies. If you needed a drink of water, you had to ask permission to get up and go and have a glass of water. Now, it was always given. So it wasn't like, you know, like all the twist or anything like that, but it was a very hierarchical place. And people called each other by their names, like I can remember called Abelson, because I could never call her Claire, which was her real name, because I was much younger than she was. And there's several older ladies who you would never call by their first name, you would call them by...
So it was a very formal way to interact in the office.
Yeah.
Yeah, the horror that would have been if you had one of those big pens with the multi-ink that you could press down.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they existed then, but yes, I don't think you would have been allowed to have one.
After you completed your so-called apprenticeship out the back in tech services, where did they put you next?
Well, then after you sort of knew how things worked in the background, which I really think is a great system, because if you know how things... you went out to a branch, and my first branch that I went to was Belmont branch. So I was out for about 3 years, I think, before I was transferred somewhere else. And in those days, they were called staff transferred, and very quickly, and without consultation. So I think, from memory, I was told on the Thursday afternoon that from Monday,
You'll
know a bit longer be working at Spears Point, and you just did it. So there was no consultation or asking you where you wanted to work. I think they were quite aware of, you know, they wouldn't send someone who lived at Adamstown, Morissette, to work. I think they were quite, you know, lenient in that way, but Belmont was considered, you know, near enough for me to go to.
Okay, that's interesting that they used some common sense in where they put their staff, even they didn't really have a choice at the time. Now, you worked in the library for... a little while now. How long would you have been?
More than 35 years.
35 years.
I'm not exactly sure.
So in that time you've seen some changes within staff, within technology, within patrons. What sort of changes did you see?
Well, within about the 5 or 10 years of my first years, things changed dramatically in terms of workplace relationships. I think I started just on the cusp of it being a very formal, old-fashioned sort of organisation to being a bit more free, because you've got to remember this was sort of mid-70s, towards the late 70s, things freed up, so you could be more relaxed with the people that you worked on. Everything was still done manually, but was a more free sort of association, one job, because they knew you sort of moved around. A lot of change happened towards interaction with people. Really great parties, as in costume parties, and that's a great time was had by all. And I think a lot of people have hazy memories of those days because they were very good parties. So that sort of changed. So it became a more social place to work. I think it's conservative and being a bit more professional in that personal way. In that you don't have library, all staff library sort of parties. They were never in work hours, they were always outside of work hours. But things have. The other thing that's happened in libraries in general, of course, I think that's has been our biggest challenge. You see, when I first started, a lot of your business was quite busy. We had manual circulation systems, so when I first started at Belmont, we had the old transaction cards that you used to have to hand sort and that sort of thing, so that was quite a manual system. Everything took a lot longer, so to mark a book out or to... So you were sort of tied up in that housework sort of thing. You also were tied up in a way that a lot of people relied on the library for reference. We would have this mad after-school rush where you would have all of the kids who... No internet, no Google, no Wikipedia. That was where people got their information. So that was kept everybody busy, that kept everybody doing those routine manual things. I think from the advent of computers, things have changed that depth of dealing with reference questions that you had back then. So it's changed not only stock, and that branches don't need to have, you know, to ask. So you can more tailor, you know, to the things that your community might like. But it's also meant that we have less kids in the library. So I see that a lot less kids come after school to the library. A lot of kids that grow up these days don't have much to do with libraries at all, whereas in virtual you have to have a school assignment, you have to go to the library.
So being dependent on the knowledge that was kept in the library was apart from maybe a school library, was one of the only ways to get information or for educational information.
That's right. I mean, you had your school library, but school libraries weren't as well funded. So the whole mix of things has changed. So libraries are much more a recreational place than an information place. That's one of the big changes that I've seen. Of course, nobody came in to have a look at computers or libraries.
Do you think the technology, in particularly computers, made the work day easier for the library worker? Not having to use the card system, perhaps?
They freed up a lot of that housework stuff that people had to do. You have no choice. The day was consumed by housework. So it's freed up a lot of that time, and it's enabled people to do more in terms of story times and programming and that sort of thing. So
the programs have increased, you've noticed?
Yes, targeting different audiences and different people. So that's because of the direct result of people having more time.
Lake Macquarie has always had a local studies history. Does that seem to be becoming more popular, less popular, or a growth section?
Well, I think libraries now, I'm not one of these people who thinks that libraries are dying. I think there will always, not instead of reading things online, but as an alternative to reading things online, I think as more people are pushed towards sitting at screens for their day job, their recreation will go to a lot to print material. So I'm not one of those people who thinks that life is going to die or books are going to die. But I think that computers have made things a lot easier for staff in order to do their work. You know, you can't go backwards.